In the case of the Sacramento Kings, you never want to lose a talent in free agency for nothing. But in the case of Harrison Barnes, is it worth the risk of losing him in free agency at the end of the year? On today's Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be joined by Sactown Sports 1140's Jay Mars to discuss just that, gambling on keeping Harrison Barnes versus trying to trade him away. It's all right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter at ABC 10 News. Formerly used to work for Sports 1140 KHDK Radio, which is now Sactown Sports 1140 Radio. And Jay Mars was someone I had the pleasure of working with almost on a daily basis. He's the producer for the morning show, the Carmichael Dave show with Jason Ross, but also one of the hosts on that show. You can hear him constantly there. He's also the assistant production director there. He does so many jobs, is so important to not just the life of that station, but the success of that station. He's also an incredible guy, very knowledgeable when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. And it's been way too long since I've had him on Locked On Kings. So I thought, you know what, let's rectify that. He's a great guy to talk about the Harrison Barnes sweepstakes. He's someone who pays very close attention to Harrison Barnes in addition to Kings basketball. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation today, the two of us really talking about to trade or not to trade Harrison Barnes basically before the season starts. We'll also talk about realistically what the Kings would expect or want in a trade for Harrison Barnes and how reasonable that is, plus how likely they are to get that kind of value. And we even talk about our starting and closing lineups for the Sacramento Kings. So a ton of stuff in this conversation that I think you will enjoy, and a ton of stuff for you to respond to. And please do that at any time. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack. You can email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with my friend Jay Mars. It has been a while since I have had this man on, and I've been so excited to be able to bring him back. Jay Mars from the new Sactown Sports 1140. I'm still getting used to that, Jay. You can hear him. You can hear him on the Carmichael Dave show with Jason Ross in the morning. Not only is he here, that his their producer, he also is on the air with them, also the assistant production director. There is, what don't you do at this station at this point, Jay Mars?
So I've always kind of like fancied myself as like a Swiss Army knife, and that's basically how I'm used, bro. I got like 46 jobs around here, but it's good. I still collect a paycheck. I'm still here, so, and happy to join the show again.
It's a pleasure to have you back on. And actually, it's a perfect segue calling yourself the Swiss Army Knight of Sactown Sports, because Harrison Barnes in so many ways is the Swiss Army Knife for the Sacramento Kings, or at least they want him to be as that starting three. Of course, he's coming up on a contract year. I'm going to ask you about him specifically, and we're going to really discuss what the Kings should be trying to do with him, or if they should just be content with him on the roster going into next season. We're going to get into that. But Jay, I wanted to ask you first, like, 1,000-foot view up, looking at this offseason for the Sacramento Kings. If the season started tomorrow and this was it, the offseason was done, would you call this successful for the Kings, or do you think there's still more work for them to do?
Oh, no, it's both, but I would first start by calling it successful. Excuse me. Number one, you addressed two of your biggest needs I felt you needed. Shooting, with the drafting of Keegan Murray, I think we all just watched in summer league, like, that kid can shoot the ball, man. Him shooting 40% from three at Iowa last year wasn't a joke. You add Malik Monk in free agency, again, a near 40% three-point shooter. Kevin Herter, another guy who's hovered around that 40% mark for his career. So you really did what you needed to do there by getting some shooting around Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And secondly, and you know, we don't know what Mike Brown's starting lineup's going to be, but if you're rolling out a starting lineup where your two is Kevin Herter at 6'7", you have Harrison starting at the three around 6'8", Keegan starting at the four around 6'9", this team is a lot longer on the wing than they've been in years. And, you know, Matt, you've talked to people around the team for years. They'll tell you the same thing. We're always so small positionally. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have a decent sized center, but one through four, the Kings are always undersized. And this is the first time they're kind of going into a season where they, you know, can kind of actually match up with teams pound for pound from a size standpoint. With that said, though, I think over the next few years, this obviously is not a set roster. You're still going to need to make improvements to it. But going right into the season, no, I think they've done it. I think Monty McNair did a great job this offseason addressing some of their key needs.
One of the major wish list items that I had that I felt the Kings have addressed to this point is you went to the offseason with three established starters, right? Fox, Barnes, and Sabonis. I wanted this Kings team to come into next season with five established NBA starters. They've done that now. In my mind, Keegan Murray is an established NBA starter, or he will be if Mike Brown decides to ease him in because he's a rookie. I don't think that's necessary, but that's Mike Brown's call, not mine. And then either one of Malik Monk or Kevin Huerter, I'm confident, is a starter or can be a starter on a good team in the NBA. So that was a big deal with me. But out of the three established starters that we knew were here in Sacramento, Harrison Barnes was the biggest question mark, not just with positionally, could he be the three, could he be the four for the Sacramento Kings, but would he still be around and would it be in the best interest of the Sacramento Kings to move on from him? My expectation at this point, Jay, is that starting training camp, Harrison Barnes, number 40, is going to be on the floor here in Sacramento wearing Kings purple. Do you expect that as well? Or do you think there is still a good chance that he could be moved?
I mean, there's always the chance it could be moved again. I mean, and we've heard Harrison Barnes in trade rumors now, it feels like, for 2.5 seasons.
Yeah.
But really, when you look at it, I don't think there's a reason to rush a Harrison Barnes trade right now, unless there's something like Monty McNair has on the table that you're getting a clear upgrade at the three. Mm-hmm. But when you kind of, you know, take a look around the NBA and guys who could potentially be on the trading block, guys we've heard rumored to go on the go, I'm not sure there's a true upgrade from Harrison at the three right now. So no, once training camp starts, I agree with you. Number 40 will be a Sacramento King and will be in that starting lineup come game one.
What you said there, I think, hits the nail on the head because it's exactly how I feel. I'm not opposed to the idea of trading Harrison Barnes. I'm opposed to the idea that what you want for him is realistically out there that Harrison Barnes can get you. You're looking for a player at his position because you still need wing depth. You're looking at a player who's on a better contract or at least has more time on his contract. You're looking for a player that's younger. You want to check all three of those boxes by trading away Harrison Barnes. Good freaking luck. I just don't know if that trade is out there, Jay.
Yeah, and you know, you've heard the rumors of the John Collins thing, but you know, now that you kind of have Keegan Murray, at least in theory, slotted to the four, that kind of complicates that deal. But I'm with you. I'm not sure there's an upgrade at the three out there from Harrison Barnes. And another big reason why I'm not so quick to move off Barnes anymore is strictly this. We've kind of seen Harrison in his time in Sacramento kind of have to operate as the third best player on the team in a lot of senses. And, you know, this is the first year we're kind of going in where they have Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. That is your established 1-2. That's not going anywhere for a while. But now you have more depth when it comes to talent when you add a Kevin Huerter. Now that you have Keegan Murray, I don't think Harrison's going to have to feel that pressure to be the third best guy on the floor every night, or if a Fox is hurt or a Sabonis is hurt, pick up the load and be that second best guy anymore. And that's really a role we haven't seen Harrison in yet. What's Harrison going to be like when he's the fourth option on offense? How much more efficient will he be? Because let's face it, I think we know Harrison can score the ball, but consistency has always been an issue. When you're the fourth or fifth option on a team, it kind of takes the pressure off you to consistently perform night in and night out at that level. You know, Harrison Barnes was the leading scorer in Dallas for, you know, two or three seasons there. Didn't work out for the Mavericks really well. Again, had to be the second or third option for the Kings a lot of the time the last few years. Hasn't worked out really well. I'm really excited to see Harrison get back into that place. And this is not an apples to apples comparison, but it's more so the role he was with the Warriors, where he was the fourth or fifth option on a night in and night out basis. And Harrison Barnes thrived in that role.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I've been saying if Harrison Barnes is your fourth option on offense, you're in really good shape. Plus, you expect Harrison. He wasn't necessarily last season. Nobody on the team was. You expect Harrison to be a net neutral, bare minimum defender. Right. I think Harrison Barnes should be a plus defender, even if it's just marginally, especially with a new team defense with Mike Brown. So in so many ways, I think if you took the contract conversation away, everybody would choose to keep Harrison Barnes on the roster because he makes so much sense for this team. But when the contract comes in, there's naturally the concern here in Sacramento of losing an asset for nothing. I understand that completely, Jay. I just think with Harrison Barnes at this point in time, especially with where you're projecting or hoping the team goes, and you have to worry about Domantas Sabonis' contract in 2 years, I think that's a risk you should be willing to take if you're Monty McNair.
For sure. And again, if we're talking about him being your fourth or fifth best player right now on the offensive side of the ball, it's absolutely a risk you should take. And here's why. If all goes well, and let's say the Kings have a good season, and by good, we're around 500, we're in the play-in. By all stretch of the imagination, Harrison Barnes likes playing in Sacramento. If the Kings are making a positive progression, I think there's a possibility of, A, you re-sign him to a smaller deal after the season. But the other idea is, too, if he is thriving in that role at the 4 or 5 and the trade deadline comes up and that upgrade that we talked about that's not available now is available then you're in a position where he's going to be a true piece for a team that could deal that guy. They're going to get an expiring contract with a good veteran. So I think trading Harrison Barnes now would be a mistake. If your whole basis is, well, we could lose him for nothing. We could, but it's a risk you're willing to take, especially going into this season because of how crucial it is. And you're going to need to have as much talent on the court as possible at all times.
Maybe I'm putting too much stock into like that Sacramento mesmerizing effect that veteran players seem to come to Sacramento, maybe don't want to be here initially and end up falling in love with Sacramento, or at least we've had success stories like that in the past, right? Plus, it's here in my hometown, so we love it here. So maybe I'm putting too much of that stock into this. I don't think it's that unreasonable or unrealistic to think that Harrison Barnes might consider re-signing with the Sacramento Kings at the end of his contract. I also think there are going to be a ton of teams bidding for him, and this is probably going to be the last major contract that he gets. I don't know if he'll ever get a contract as big as the Kings initially gave him. Maybe the Kings will have to give him that kind of money again to get him to stick around. That's Monty McNair's decision. But Jay, I don't think it's that absurd to believe, if you're the Kings, that you have a chance of bringing him back at the end of the year anyway.
It's not absurd at all. I mean, let's go with recency, right? Rashawn Holmes going into that contract year. What did we hear, Matt? There's no way they're going to be able to resign Rashawn Holmes. There's no way they're going to be able to resign Rashawn Holmes. He reportedly took less to come back to Sacramento and the team wasn't even good.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, guys, and that's my point. If the Kings have a really good year this year, and they're showing that progression of finally getting it together, I don't think it's out of the realm at all that an unrestricted free agent Harrison Barnes could re-sign here. I am not here to say that's a foregone conclusion that's going to happen.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by betonline.net. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every single league, including Major League Baseball right now, NHL, NBA, NFL, combat sports, esports, even golf. They have it all. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Plus, they have a bunch of ton future bets and prop bets, side bets. You can still bet right now on where you think Donovan Mitchell is going to end up. You can bet right now on where you think Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving are going to end up, maybe even DeAndre Ayton if you still think he's going to be traded. There are so many bets available for you, plus future bets on Kings win totals and championship odds for next year. Have fun with that. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening right now at BetOnline, where the game starts. Let me ask you about this, because this is something I thought about when the Kings traded for Kevin Huerter. Huerter played a majority of his minutes, or at least played a decent period of time in Atlanta at that 3 spot. Now, I think it's fair to say he's probably undersized for that position, but he held his own there in Atlanta. Are you okay with the idea that the Kings might look at Kevin Huerter as a contingency plan to temporarily fill that starting 3 spot if they were to move on from HB?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I prefer it more, though, as Kevin Huerter playing the 3, as if, hey, the Kings need a small ball lineup. And, you know, they've even said, you know, they might think Keegan Murray can play some small ball 5. So if you look at a lineup maybe where they need to go small and you have Murray at the 5, and this is why, and you go back to Barnes, this is another reason why he's so important to this current roster, is his versatility to play the 3 or the 4. And so you could be potentially looking at a small lineup of Murray at the 5, Barnes at the 4, Huerter at the 3, Monk at the 2, Fox at the 1. I wouldn't want that to be a permanent solution, though. Again, I have no issues with Huerter playing the 3. I just don't think that's someone, because of his frame, you want to be playing the 3 majority of the minutes.
Is that potentially your opening night lineup, that Fox, Monk, Huerter, Barnes, Sabonis lineup? Or are you more game with Murray starting right away? Like, what do you think about starting fives on opening night?
You know, I've racked my brain around this a couple times because I've fallen into that trap before, seeing a guy perform in summer league and falling in love. We saw it with Davion last year, you know, but Keegan Murray plays with a certain poise that makes me think he's ready for starter minutes. And when you look at this Kings lineup, you know, the usage rate is going to be Sabonis and Fox. Like, that's where a majority of your usage is going. Mm-hmm. And I think it's perfect for a rookie like Keegan to just kind of come in. He already seems like he has that knack to just fill in the holes that they're not going to be filling in. And again, he's another guy with some versatility. I could see that being the starting lineup. Although, again, and we're just, you know, we have no idea what Mike Brown's going to do. But if you had to ask me today what the Kings starting five would be, I would say it's Fox, Herter in the backcourt with Barnes, Murray, and Sabonis. Again, I like the idea of them stretching, them being a little bigger. That's what I think it'll be in game one.
Plus, I think Keegan Murray so naturally fits with Fox and Sabonis because of his skill set that he doesn't have to try anything different at the NBA game to naturally be a plus or a positive on the floor for the Kings on opening night. So I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Keegan Murray already, but I'm a big fan of Keegan Murray starting on opening night.
And I said, I think he'll fit in perfectly there again, because with Fox and Sabonis having most of the usage there, and me and Jay Ross were talking about this. I said, man, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is like an ideal rookie season for Keegan Murray statistically on the offensive side. 15 points, 7 boards. You know, that's obviously far from what he averaged in summer league. But if he can give you 15 and 7 with the same shooting split, you know, 50, 40, 80, like, you're thrilled with that.
100%. I'd take that in a heartbeat. And I think it's, I mean, this is scary to say, and I might be jinxing it, but it feels right to me. I think Murray's a lock to shoot 40% from 3-point range. I think he's going to get so, he got a ton of open looks on summer league. He's going to get so much more playing with Fox and Sabonis.
But even when he wasn't making open look, he was getting looks. If there was a guy in his face, he's hitting turnarounds. Like, the guy, I think his shooting ability was really understated coming into the draft. I don't think people realize, and you've seen some analysts say this now after watching him, his shooting is way far ahead than I think anyone gave him credit for.
Going back to your opening night starting lineup, you had Herter over Malik Monk. Why?
Size. I get the idea of playing him and De'Aaron together. Obviously, there's a natural fit there because of what they did in college, and they were great in college together. But I just like the idea of a Monk coming off the bench as sort of your spark plug sixth man that, you know what, the starters are kind of, you know, they're in a little bit of a lull tonight. He's that guy you can just plug in and get you back into the game, get you some quick buckets. And two, again, I love the idea of having that size out there on the wing, especially on the offensive side with, you know, if you're going to run a lot of high ball pick and roll with Sabonis and Fox, you need to have size and shooting out there. 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", spreading the floor. That's a very dangerous starting lineup on paper.
Yeah, I am team Kevin Herter too at this point, but actually a lot of it has to do with defense as well. Like, Herter is not the greatest defender. Malik Monk is definitely not the greatest defender. Actually, both, they admitted on their introductory press conference, both have been challenged by the Kings to be better defensively. I think that's a challenge issued out to the entire roster. So I can't wait to see the position battle between those two in training camp. And it might be defense and the defensive edge that Herter has that ends up earning him that spot for me. But that's, I think, going to be major to pay attention to. If Malik Monk comes into camp, he's hitting threes and also giving his all defensively, I wouldn't be surprised if he won that spot. I think Kevin Herter offers a lot of value coming off the bench too.
Yeah, I mean, either one, depending on, and I think that's really, I don't think there's a set two there. I think one of those, they're going to be battling in training camp for that. But again, you know, and you alluded to what they said about Herter. Listen, Herter's not an all-league defender, but it's been really understated. He fits into a team defensive concept well. He's a smart defender. And for the Kings right now, I've always said this. They don't need to take this, like, top flight leap into defense because, A, I just don't see it happening. But if they can be competent on defense, if they can be a top 10 offense and a top 20 defense, like, this is a play-in / playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For me, it's if they could be middle of the pack, if they found a way to be 15th, which would be a massive improvement.
Right? Competent.
Yeah. If they're right in the middle of the pack, I think this is a playoff team with how good we expect them to be offensively. Well, Jay, here's the last question I have for you. And this might honestly be the hardest question because I've thought about this. I intentionally haven't done a podcast episode on this because I haven't gotten this ironed out. what is your closing lineup for this Kings team? Because I want to find, I think Davion Mitchell is probably going to be on the floor at some point for defense. And plus, I expect him to be better offensively than he was even last year. So obviously Fox, obviously Sabonis. Is Monk there for shooting? Is Herter there for shooting? Is Keegan Murray out there? Harrison Barnes, like, I don't know what this Kings closing lineup looks like. And arguably, that's supposed to be your best, most competent five.
Yeah, and you know, and we'll see what Mike Brown feels like there, obviously. But that's a great question. You know, with all the stuff that's happened in the offseason, the Monk signing, you know, all the hype around Murray, the Kevin Herter trade, I think Davion's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. And Davion's a guy I look at that, you know, you're expecting to take a leap this season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we saw him play well towards the end of the year, but it's really hard to kind of get a gauge on that in those last 10 to 15 games because, you know, teams are just kind of doing whatever at that moment. But, you know, and Davion said the two things he needs to get better at is his team defense. And he really wants to be able to play next to De'Aaron in lineups. And we've already said he has to work on catch and shoot threes. And so that's something he, how much has he addressed those two issues? I'll tell you this, if he figures out the team defensive side of the ball and his catch and shoot threes improve, I think you're looking at a closing lineup of Fox, Mitchell, Herter, kind of going back to that small ball lineup we were talking about a little bit, Murray or Barnes, depending on who's got the hot hand that night, and probably Domantas Sabonis.
Jay, I believed way too much in last year's team, and it made me look like an absolute fool and led to one of my least favorite seasons of all time. So I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself.
I predicted them to win 45 games, so I feel your pain.
Looking at this roster right now, it feels right to say, and again, I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. It feels right to say, this is the best roster the Sacramento Kings have had since they last made the playoffs. Like, just looking on paper, this team looks so good. So I don't know how your impatience level is doing. We're in week one of the actual legitimate offseason for the NBA where nothing's going on. And my impatience level is just tarnished. I'm gone already.
Yeah. I'm approaching this with a now cautious optimism. Because I've looked at this, and here's the big thing I looked at, and you said it's the best lineup since the playoff team in 06. I agree with you on that. This is the most talent they've surrounded De'Aaron Fox with.
Absolutely.
You know, De'Aaron's going into year six, and, you know, there's a lot of naysayers on De'Aaron, and, you know, I think this is kind of his make or break season in Sacramento. There's really no excuse now. You have a perfect partner to play with in Domantas Sabonis, again, referencing that, you know, high pick and roll game they're going to run. You have plenty of shooting surrounding you. There's no reason for you to not step up your defensive game. This is a make or break season for De'Aaron. And if De'Aaron really kind of hunkers down and finally kind of is that guy that we all expected when we drafted him out of Kentucky, this is again, 41-45 win team. If he can really step up and play that all-star level of basketball that we've been expecting now for the last season or two, and there's no excuse now. You got the pieces around you, you know,
all eyes are on De'Aaron, especially to start next season. So we'll have to wait and see for that. And Jay, we actually will be definitely bringing you back towards the start of next season, maybe even during training camp, to talk about some of these storylines, because I'm sure things will change or we'll get some things more ironed out, especially in regards to lineups and rotations and things like that. But I miss you, my man. It's so good to have you back on. Continue the great work that you're doing over there at Sacktown Sports. And I can't wait to have you back on again, my guy.
Appreciate it, sir. It's been too long. And yeah, we'll catch up here very shortly when the season gets going underway.
Big thank you to Jay Mars for coming back here on Locked On Kings. I always enjoy talking with him. We agree in a lot of ways, and I actually didn't know that coming into this conversation, but he and I are basically on the exact same page when it comes to Harrison Barnes. We both think clearly that it's worth the risk of hanging on to him, and I do legitimately think, like we talked about there, that the Kings do have a chance of re-signing him at the end of the year, especially if this season goes according to plan or goes as good as Monty McNair and the Sacramento Kings are hoping it will go. Maybe Mike Brown can also have a positive effect on Harrison Barnes. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, but I think it is worth the risk. If you disagree, let's talk about it. Let us know why. I don't think we're 100% right by any means. So let's talk about why you think it would be right for the Sacramento Kings to move on from Harrison Barnes and what you would expect or want to get in return. Again, reach out to me on Twitter at @MattGeorgeSack. You can tweet me publicly or DM me privately. Even if we don't follow each other, my DMs are always open. You can email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. And of course, the YouTube chat always gets going. And I really appreciate that as well. Thank you again for your support on today's episode. we're at least a day closer to the start of training camp. Still got a lot of time to kill between now and training camp beginning in September, and we will do our best here on Locked On Kings to kill that time for you. More great content, more great interviews coming. I'm going to spend a lot of time still talking about the that starting two-guard spot with Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, plus a lot of other topics, and I'm going to be doing some fans-only episodes and things like that coming up as well, so please stay tuned for that. Really appreciate your support. Can't wait to have you join me here again on Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.